Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It is the Tuesday edition. The Jason Wilde, what are you doing here? Again, edition. I thought of Barry Alvarez yesterday, and not just because I assumed Jesse was playing craps with him, but Matt LaFleur dropped a "he's not going to flinch" when it comes to Tucker Kraft and his comeback now from his ACL tear. Edition. It's trade deadline day. Remember Chase Claypool. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. A fine alternative, as those jerks at Spotify still haven't figured out our issues. It's on their end, damn it. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay, but not today. I'm in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. So is Jesse Nelson.
Good morning.
Behind the glass, as the people who actually host shows in the studios.
I am here every day, but you wouldn't know that. Yeah.
I believe you. Well, you're not here every day. Come on. Every day that you're here. And this is twice in three shows?
Yeah, this will be good, I think, after today. I think we've had our fill. I don't know if we'll have any more. We don't have anything else scheduled for the rest of the year, I don't think. So.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
All right, so what are you doing down here? Just to give a... Because everybody is... I know I'm like, okay, it was great that you came down here...
Friday.
Because you were going to a volleyball game with your kids. So
we did, yep.
All right, I understood that. What are we doing today?
Well, today I get to go.
Because you're not leaving on a weekday to come down without your kids. Like, that doesn't happen.
Not
so
only
it must
that.
Be weird. Something big. Yeah.
I left this morning at 5:45.
What a warrior.
Wow. And I will probably get home 11-ish because tonight we have our, thank you for asking.
No, you're welcome.
Our get-together at Buck and Honey's. Which
Buck and Honey's? There's four of them.
Indeed, the Monona location.
Oh, that's a beautiful one.
That's a good one.
You got the OG out in Sun Prairie, and at Buck and Honey's, Monona is...
So those are the two I have been to before.
Okay.
I've heard the Mount Horeb one is fantastic.
It's very nice. It's too far for me, but for the people out in Verona and Mount Horeb and what are some of the other, New Glarus and some of those areas, it's a great spot.
The Monona one is where we went completely on our own just to eat there as a family.
That's cute.
The OOG is where we did a show like a week into the existence of this program.
Is that right?
It's the first time I met Tommy. So they're obviously phenomenal. We're not going there simply for the firecracker shrimp, although I would do that.
Sure.
It's that good. We are having our get-together today to... promote and hopefully have lots of people sign up to go to see Big Ben, Parliament, Edinburgh Castle for our trip with Colette this summer.
You know what I think would be nice? If it was at a better time of the year, We would entertain going with our kids. Obviously, middle of the summer, we can't. Jesse, what a great thing for you and Becca. Why don't you guys go to Edinburgh, Stratford of Avon?
Stratford upon Avon.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard it both ways.
Hanging out with your guy.
I'm not going to critique any pronunciation.
How fun would that be?
I think it would be a blast.
All right,
it's a trip I would like to make.
Head over to Monona tonight and sign up, and let's get you going.
I might attend the informational meeting. We were talking about, tomorrow's my birthday. We were talking about maybe going out.
Birthday.
I got to work volleyball tomorrow night, so maybe we're going to go out to dinner tonight. Maybe we'll just happen to be at Buck and Honey's Monona at the time of the meeting, and we can crash and see what it's all about if we're interested. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I know there's going to be some luminaries there. I will be there as well, but we're looking forward to that. That's at 6 o'clock at Buck and Honey's, the Monona location. And by the way, if you want to find out more information about the trip, just go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. Now, thanks for asking about that. How are you? What do you got on your mind as
I
arrive here?
Well, I'm doing great.
Madison.
Went to the big tussle last night of the Campbell Camels, which not uber creative with their nickname, but gave us a little bit of a dogfight last night. We had to go into our second hump in order to get through.
Oh, I like that.
Nice. In order to win. It was a 5-point game with like 9 minutes left. And we ended up winning by 30-plus. But they had a kid, number 9, I don't know his name, really good player. But our stars
he'll
were stars
be, he'll
last
be playing
night.
Somewhere else next year with the
it's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe
Gardo,
maybe Gardo was talking to him, had his crew kind of. That's the tricky part of doing these games now, but Blackwell was a stud last night. I'm not making any Final Four pronouncements yet, but great start to the season.
How about usually not making one at all?
Usually wait till the first week of February.
Nah, you know, I'm a big fan of that holiday tournament. That always gets me peaked because I love that Thanksgiving. I'm bummed we can't go.
Oh, where are we going this
San
year
Diego.
Without you?
Yeah, we can't do it. That stinking Gopher game kind of gets caught up in that. So
going out west, San Diego.
That's what
right?
I literally just said.
Are they playing on an aircraft carrier?
I feel
carrier?
Like you guys are starting to like just tune me out on certain things. I literally just said it's out in San Diego.
He
just,
did.
Oh, where are you going?
Well,
where's it at? Oh. So anyways, I'm not going to do any proclamations of that, but I do think this is going to be a fun team. I do.
Yeah?
Yep. Big. Got a big bodies.
Got a lot of bigs.
Bigs. A lot of big boys. Yes.
So you went to that. No one was surreptitiously taking a photo of you drinking your Coors Light.
I don't know.
I didn't, to our knowledge.
I didn't see that. But I did get an email from Riley Yauch last night. It sounds like Jesse set me up and Coach Alvarez kind of gave me kind of a little slapping about being a big fella and not fitting in a car. Which I didn't fully appreciate, Jesse.
Coach Alvarez did get after you a little bit last night, but
I'll go boo in a car.
Nice.
Go boo in a car.
That's pretty good, actually. You're off to a very strong start, if I may say
I'm just trying. This is our last show in person for the 2025 year.
Until 2028.
Fingers crossed. So I want to make sure it's a good one. Jesse,
wait,
give us a little.
Do we have this saved for later in the program?
Well, no, we
this?
Can, but we knew this. Jesse told us he had the open. He said, "I got the open" before he even
he
got
did.
In the car.
Indeed.
So, what was the layout? Coach Alvarez sit front, shotgun, run the radio. Did he have Tark shove the seat up? Give us the layout.
So, Coach sat shotgun. Tarek and Derek were in the back, both on the way there.
And give us a little layout
on the way
back. Car you were driving.
So I got a new vehicle recently from the Zimbrick dealerships over off the Beltline on the west side of Madison. So it's a used Lincoln Corsair that I purchased about a month ago.
Is that like a LeSabre?
No, it's like a midsize SUV.
Okay.
So some good legroom, more legroom than the Civic had, no doubt about that. So Tarek and Derek in the back. The first thing Derek said, "Wow! This is a nice, clean car." Oh. Which, did I vacuum it on Sunday to make sure that it would be in good shape for the fellas?
You're such a
yes,
poser.
Yes, I did.
What a poser.
Like poser!
You probably had like a bunch of fish filet, like in The Office. You just had all kinds of like leftover drinks and stuff. Because I know in my car we do that. I don't pose that. But I would have probably done similar things, probably not to the same degree. You vacuumed and...
Yeah, I mean, vacuuming was pretty much the extent of what I did. It's also...
New air freshener?
It's a relatively new... Yeah, new air freshener was in there, good to go. Oh, Are you saying my car smelled the other day when you hopped in it?
That's not what I'm saying at all. Yeah. I'm just asking what length you went to impress Coach Elbrin.
That's nice. Yeah, a lot of farts in the car. Yeah.
Former Aaron Rodgers teammates ride with you?
Yeah, Bulaga's in the back every day. It's weird. So we hop in the car. We're driving down to Rockford.
Only a 60-minute trip.
And less than an hour to get there from Coach's house. Yep, no doubt. That's where we met yesterday. So that was kind of cool. Third time I've been there. No big deal. Yeah.
Has he ever allowed you into the house?
It's not that big a deal. It's pretty cool.
Kind of a big deal. Three times.
Pretty cool that you got to drop him off right at his door and picked him up. That's nice.
Yeah, it is. Pretty nice. So we drove down.
Brought some leftovers, Pluber.
Did you put waters in there to make sure?
I did not pack a cooler for the fellas. No waters, no Coors Lights. We just hopped in the car and drove down. That's how we handled our business getting there. We wanted to make sure we expedited time, so we beat some of the rush heading down I-90, so we got there with enough time to play. So we talked on the way down, pretty much the whole conversation on the way down. We barely even paid attention to what was on the radio, so that took away some stress of figuring out what I should put on for everyone to listen to. We were talking about the team, we were talking about the show, talking about you, what came up on our show about me chickening out playing craps last time with Barry. So he was coaching me up a little bit as we were heading down. So we get to Hard Rock Casino Rockford just after 5 o'clock, so we made pretty good time, and I drop them off at the front, and then I go park on the side, come through the back entrance where I got to, like, check my bag and everything in for the show. Sure, so by the time I get in, Tarek's up by the bar, and Derek and Barry are already at the craps table.
Shocker.
And I'm like, okay, here we go. It's showtime. So I walk up, and similar setup to last time. Very crowded craps table. Very packed. I said, I'm not flinching this time. So I stood back. I watched a little bit, kind of, because I'd still never played at a regular craps table before. So I'm watching how it's all going, kind of figuring that out. Finally, Coach kind of says, "All right, come on in. Let's get you in here." So
water's warm.
So I come
in. Let's go boo at a craps table.
Looks like they were doing pretty well, so we're off to a good start. So I put some money down, and a fella on the other end is rolling the dice, and he's kind of taking his time. He's running down the play clock, down to the final seconds every time he's rolling the dice. And Coach was a little upset that he was taking a while to, you know, pace of play was not Oregon style. It was more Wisconsin style of the 90s. So we're trying to get it going a little bit. He's trying to, you know, encouraging everyone to play at a decent pace. You know, we got a show to do at 6 o'clock. So he gets done rolling dice on the other end of the table, comes over our way. Derek rolls a couple. I win like 10 bucks. All right, we're a good start. That's fun. Coach is kind of telling me what to play, where to put the chips down on the table. He said, first rule in craps, if they put chips in front of you, pick them up. Well, that's good advice. I don't know exactly. What? You don't like that advice?
Whatever.
If they're handed in chips, you'd pick them up.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I did. It worked out. So anyway, Derek rolls. He gets done. Then it's Barry's turn to roll. And Barry looks as, I'm going to pass to the first timer.
I knew this was going to happen. I love it.
And I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, no. I barely know what I'm doing at this table. And now Coach Alvarez wants me throwing the dice
side,
for the entire table.
You go
table.
Like this?
How did I do it?
Overhand?
Picked them up. You kind of toss them like this.
Way, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You kind of toss, almost frisbee style in a way. Yeah.
Yep. Got to hit the back wall.
Got to hit the back wall.
Is that the rule?
I did know that and did that. Never had an issue. And the table got hot.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
What was your first point? What was the first point?
I don't remember. Okay. I honestly don't. The whole
dazzling
thing is
details.
The
it's
whole
good
thing.
Stuff.
I mean, what do you want me to do?
I hit the wall. I made some money.
You want me to keep a shot? She died. I threw a
your
five and then a four and then
Coach
an eight.
Alvarez, you don't know what you rolled.
I believe I threw a five.
That's not a bad point.
I believe I threw a five. And then I didn't really know what I was doing. He said, bet the eight and then back it. And I was like, okay, sure. And then
put your odds behind
it. So I'm like, coach is coaching me. I'm going to listen. And then the very next roll was an eight. And
yeah,
I got a ton of money coming my way. I'm like, all right, I don't know what I just did, but that's amazing. So all in all, everybody won. I did end up missing my crosstalk segment with Jim, Matt, and Molly at 5:45.
I'm sure they lived without you.
I couldn't exactly walk away
upgraded
from
the show.
Pretty sure Jim, Matt, and Molly were just fine.
If they're upset, I would like to apologize. I don't think they'll be upset.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking out there. They're saying
they're
fine.
They're good. They're good. Okay.
I don't know if they noticed.
So missed that to finish rolling the dice with Coach. And then because the table was hot, Coach had the roll after, so I threw a 7. We were done. Derek and I walked away. Coach said, I'm going to stick it out for one more. And he ended up rolling in a few minutes after the show got started up on the stage at the Hard Rock to finish out the roll over at the craps table.
Good stuff.
So we had fun.
And then you did not play afterwards? You guys just left, or did you go back?
No, so Barry Alvarez's grandson was on Monday Night Football last night.
Fumbled.
Yeah, I wasn't good.
Fumbled.
Team had a rough night overall. But we did stay and watched through, I think it was the last offense. It ended the third quarter, and then they had like a fourth down play to start the fourth quarter.
Oh, you guys stayed for a while.
So, yeah, we got back. It was after 10 o'clock we got back to Madison, and a little late night. I will have you know, I was offered the opportunity not to do this show today, knowing it was going to be a late night. And
what
I said, no, thanks. My guys are coming into the studio. I'm going to be there for them. So here we are, good to go.
Not all heroes wear capes. And you're not wearing a cape today.
So how much did you leave up?
$101.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good pretty for good you. Little
yeah, pretty good night. Thanks to Coach Alvarez. I would not have known what I was doing. I would not have won as much money as I did without the help of Wisconsin Badgers legend Barry Alvarez.
It's a great little redemption story. Nice job, Jesse.
It is. It really is. We're proud of
Don't
you.
Flinch. That's what I learned.
And now that's $100 more you can spend on your new windows from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed you can. And when it comes to your home, the smart play is to always trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And this month only, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 72 months. That is a long time. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule a free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It is NFL trade deadline day. The Green Bay Packers have lost Tucker Kraft for the season to a torn ACL in his right knee. They have lost Chipotle Ben to the Minnesota Vikings. So as they stand now, they have two tight ends on their team. In addition, Nate Hobbs, continuing the tradition of not a great success story of this year's free agent signees. They're basically the bizarro version of last year's, who turned out to be captains and pro bowlers and all pros. Oh, my. Nate Hobbs having an issue with his knee. He's got a grade 1 MCL sprain, according to the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he is going to be shut down for the next 2 weeks.
Who, Hobbs is?
Hobbs is, yes. This, I'm assuming, came from the agent. It was spun in a positive manner about, you know, he's been playing through the injury, and that's why he has struggled. So he's going to be shut down for a little while. I am curious. Tausch, the deadline is 3 p.m., so we have 5 hours and 37 minutes. Will they make a trade?
I don't think they'll do anything for more than a fifth round pick. So if they can find a corner that they like enough that they feel like can help, not going to be somebody that I think they plug and play. It'll be something like a depth. I don't know. Like, I know there's talk of, well, what about tight end? I think they're going to run with Musgrave. I think they want to see what they have with him. This is gives him a great opportunity. And then I think they'll pick somebody else up. I don't think the Zach Ertz or, you know, someone of that.
David Njoku.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes a ton of sense. But I just get the hunch that Goody made his moves. I think he's Norm Dealing this thing. And he's like, my team's on the floor. Now,
great reference.
You make some. You obviously have a really bad injury to one of your best players. That could change things. And if there is somebody that he likes, I really thought, you know, they loved Darren Waller back when he, you know, they tried
almost
to trade
traded for
him
at the trade deadline. Yep.
And Joshy DiMaggio gave me some reference points. He's on IR until week 13. So is that going to be obviously he'd be cheap. You probably get him for a conditional seventh.
And he came back and has played very well for them.
I would be up for that. I'm not interested in us. We gave up first-round picks for Micah Parsons, 100% the right move. I'm not interested in dumping and going and chasing a Claypool or someone of that ilk.
Clever.
I don't think that juice is going to be worth the squeeze. I think this team, and as I said with Vinny and Telly this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News, it's almost as if now that this Packers season – every week is a Kubler. Like when you have a tough loss, you kind of go through the phase. And it's as a player, you kind of did that, but it was expedited. All right, Sunday, you lose a tough game. Ugh, this sucks. Oh, I'm mad. Oh, okay, I'm bargaining. Well, if this had happened, this. And Vinny started it, and that's what got. He's like, oh, we're only 9 points from being undefeated. I'm like, well, that's a polluted mindset, and that's what. Had a losing team set. Yeah, we were 4-12 that year. The best 4-12 team ever. If six different things go the other way, we're 11-5, and we're probably Super Bowl champs. It's not the way the NFL world works. So then you start bargaining, and at some point you come to acceptance. And I've come to acceptance on this game. I was mad. I was irritated. I didn't even really bargain. I did bargain a little bit. I thought if Tucker Kraft was healthy in that game, I think we win. And if Matt LaFleur doesn't make a bonehead move, I think we find a way to beat Carolina. But I'm accepting of the fact that the league, this is just how the NFL is. And you can be irritated, but by Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm telling you right now, we'll be doing a show next Tuesday. And if Green Bay beats Philadelphia, the conversation is going to be it's us and the Rams. It's going to be, oh, we beat Philly, we've beaten Detroit. It's us and the Rams as the top two teams in the NFC. That's what will happen if we take care of business next Monday night. So I have Kubler to the point where I have now accepted this is a young team that's going to have some hiccups, but it's still a really good football team. I am very concerned, and maybe I just need more time and to see how Matt LaFleur adjusts without Tucker. That is such a big blow to this group. I'm not sure how you go about it. I would love to see them go make that trade, let Musgrave grow a little bit here the next couple weeks, and have a Darren Waller in the side, just in the old holster, just in case, and he's going to cost you next to nothing. That's what I'd like to see done today. Outside of that, if you want to go pick up a corner for a late pick, have at it, Goody. But going and making some another big splash second or third round pick, I'm out.
Okay, I don't expect a big splash, give up a second or third round pick move. My question is, do they need to do something? They're thin at corner. They are now on the verge of playing Bo Melton at corner. They have essentially four corners right now with Hobbs unavailable. It's Nixon, it's Valentine, it's Kamal Haddon, and it's Bo. And nobody loves Bo more than me. But I don't know if I want him having to play 60 snaps in a game at a position he just learned in the offseason.
Okay, that's great. Who's out there?
Alante Taylor from New Orleans is still available. There's a bunch of other corners that have moved, including Jair Alexander being acquired by the Eagles. The Eagles have done...
Did we all tell Goody how right he was about Jair, too?
We have not told him that because we haven't talked to him, but he was clearly right about him. No doubt about it.
I think Goody is going to continue. Like, if I'm Goody right now, my default setting is once you're done with your second contract, unless you are balling and playing at a position you don't need a ton of athleticism, deuces. I'm not bringing anybody back. Like, it works.
What's Rasul Douglas up to?
Playing for the Dolphins.
Oh.
Yeah, I just sense that there's something there. I don't think Goody, something must have happened there.
Yeah, and it must be Goody because my very clear understanding is that it's not LaFleur who did not like him. So I don't know for certain that Goody didn't, but again, he's old now, especially by the Packers
standards. But old rental's fine. You don't want to be leasing. You don't want to be like a 3-year lease with somebody on an old, like, rusted out 67 Chevy.
I think, you know, that even if
go to Zimbrick. No, go to Zimbrick for yourself, something new.
If we're being realistic about their history with Goody, they're more likely to move one of their own guys for a pick, aren't they? Aren't they more likely to trade Kingsley and Igbaré for a sixth or something like that? They've traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They've traded Preston Smith.
I would have thought that Musgrave, before this injury, if somebody offered a fourth for him.
Sure, right.
That would have been a tease.
Not anymore, obviously.
No, you need to let him go. You need to let him eat.
Hope he can block.
I'm not sure what, unless you love Mosby or, I don't sense that that's going to be somewhere Green Bay is looking to shed.
Is there any chance?
So there was a rumor last week that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers called about Elgton Jenkins. Elgton Jenkins ain't going to be on this football team next year.
He's definitely not going to be the center next year.
I don't think he's going to be on the football team.
What if Aaron Banks isn't on the football
then
team
he could
next
be.
Year?
Yeah. So we don't want to get – if that was the case, move him back to guard now. Banks, he's hurt. I don't know. Maybe. What if you go to the Jets and get Myers back? Cost you nothing.
And his contract is nothing. And for all the faults.
Boy, that would be, that would be Goody really admitting that he soiled his pants.
It would be.
Let's go get Josh Myers, Rasul Douglas.
Get the band back
who
together.
Who else is out there?
No, but I do
Lazard.
Think.
Lazard.
I think that there are some guys, and if you don't feel great about where you're at on the interior, you know who I'd love to see Green Bay go get? And I need to even check to make sure he's still playing in the NFL.
Oh, boy.
That's where I'm at. I think he's with
oh, no.
Are you going to drop a Kevin Zeitler on us?
I think Kevin Zeitler's with the Titans. Bring him home. Let him finish his time here in Green Bay.
He is indeed a member of the Tennessee
is he healthy?
Titans.
I'm nervous he's old.
He is 35 years of age.
Whew. Although Calais Campbell's 39, he's still tackling. He got 2 sacks last night.
I think if Green Bay is going to get, like, if you can, I think an interior offensive lineman, Banksy just can't stay healthy. I don't think they love how Jordan Morgan is playing. Kind of bouncing between Sean Ryan and then obviously Elgton Jenkins.
God.
They're not going to trade Elgton Jenkins.
No,
but
not
I
now.
Don't think I think this is going to be the end of his time in Green Bay after this season. So, adding some depth there. I don't know how good they feel if something happens to Elgton. Sean Ryan's going to be playing center, and I don't think that's a formula for a ton of success.
You don't think that they would go to Jacob Monk, who they kept all last year. He's still here now. He's back off of IR. He's
available. Played him at guard a bunch.
And he was bad at guard. But he played in the preseason at center, and he wasn't terrible. Again, I don't know how you fix some of the declaration issues. You're the one who's an offensive lineman. We'll talk to Bulaga about it tomorrow. But that has been surprising. There's been more free runners than we ever saw during the Josh Myers era. To your point about Kevin Zeitler, he is a starter for the Titans. He has started all 8 games. And on top of that, the dude has played 14 years and started 205 games.
Yeah, he's a warrior.
He plays like there's a few years where he played only 15 games, but 15, 16, 17 every single year.
Wow.
If I am
You were right about that during the offseason. Imagine if they'd have gotten him for 1 year as opposed to Aaron Banks and what they did.
They'd
there.
Be a lot happier with their
pick. Yes, you were right.
Thank you. And Tausch it's not just that right. He's a Wisconsin guy. He's just a really good football player.
Right. And I guess if let me ask you this. And then
what is Tennessee doing with him?
Right. Well, they're
letting
starting
him rot. Somebody,
him.
A contender in the NFC, I don't know where Detroit's at with their O-line. Play good football for Detroit. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears went and grabbed him. Somebody is going to want to go and pick him up. That's a contender. If you stink, why bother? But if you're looking to add some, that is somebody that I would be all over. And from Green Bay standpoint, I do think finding another interior offensive lineman is one of the sneaky spots on this group that I think they need to address too, because that it has not been as good as they had hoped it would be.
We need to get to Evan Cohen. Last question on this, and we'll ask Evan this too, because you are both Goody either stands or believers. Is the one blind spot in the constant youth not adding the Kevin Zeitler type on a low-cost, late-in-his-career contract? You talked about second contracts. I agree. And he's regretted third contracts for sure, but now there's even second contracts that you know he's saying, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Right?
Like who?
Like Jair?
He got a couple years out of Jair's second.
Rashawn Gary?
No. He's fine with Rashawn Gary's contract. He's fine with it. He structured it so they can get out. Elgton Jenkins, they got a steal for most of his second contract. Yeah, they're fine with it. It's the third deal that you're looking at and saying, okay, we're not going to give Elgton the third year, a third contract. Yeah, I get it, because it's tough. And Elton's going to get paid somewhere else, and he'll probably be back
probably
at guard.
Probably play at guard, yes. And then he will have plenty of money to get his bathroom redone with Kohler Services.
Hey, family-owned business. What a great business. Great Wisconsin company, Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you can get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel, and you have zero interest for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. Fast professional installation. That is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free.
If I you know what that music means? From Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear across ESPN Wisconsin. You can watch on ESPN television. If you're not watching Good Morning America, it is Evan
Cohen.
Well,
Smalls was on Good Morning America.
Nice!
Were you not watching?
I was not.
Oh, that was actually the day he was
the
here.
The one day that you actually don't watch.
I was here, yeah.
Evan, is it smart to prep for a morning sports talk show by watching Good Morning America?
I guess if you're doing non-sports stuff to relate to sports fans.
Yeah, but we aren't. And we don't.
I don't see that.
One of the best things you do are non-sports things.
When do you ever bring a Good Morning America topic to our show?
Well, I'm not.
It's been like three times.
Tariff talk. Wow. We have tackle talk on Wednesday, and we do tariff talk on Thursdays. That's typically how that goes.
Okay, I'm going to tweet out that Evan's on the show right now, so I'm going to let you take over the interview.
I was listening to you and Canty and Michelle this morning on my drive into the Everlight Solar Studio, and I got a sneaky suspicion. I love that you're doing this, what do you call it, the all-mess team, or what is it you do on Wednesdays?
Hot mess.
I love it. And I got a sneaky suspicion. You're teasing it. You did a 22-hour tease, which, by the way, is beautiful. I got a sneaky suspicion. I know which team you're going to do, and I think it's absurd that you're going to put the Green Bay Packers on the hot mess. You said it's a winning team. You were just talking about the Packers. I don't want to steal your tease, but if you think
No, it's okay. I mean, I have no problem telling you this. So the hot mess, for those who are unaware, Jason – and everybody else that may be unaware, every single Wednesday on our show.
I think Stephanopoulos is actually bringing that up. He took that. He's got the hot mess.
Oh, Georgie.
Oh, your head.
Yes. Yeah. So what I do is I update power rankings for hot mess teams. The definition for me of a hot mess is think Tara Reid and Paris Hilton back in the day when they walk in the Hollywood nightclub and you're like, oh, my God, they're drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful supermodels. And they come out, and you're like, what happened to their left shoe, and where's their earring, and why is the mascara, like, falling down from their face? Like, what happened here? Like, how did that – you walk in looking good, you come out looking like a mess, right?
Okay.
And so, like, for instance, the New Orleans Saints have never been on my list because I actually don't think that they're a mess. I just think that they're not very
good.
They
stink, yeah.
Yeah. But they're actually kind of building, right? So, yes. One of the candidates for tomorrow, definitively, would be the Green Bay Packers. That is the team that I was alluding to. I am not suggesting they're going to be on it definitively. I really have to see how today plays out. But I was beyond, agitated with that on Sunday, and here's why. On our show last week, we started bouncing around what possible upsets could happen.
You didn't even broach and think that that was a possibility.
Even, that's right.
I'm an avid listener to your show, Evan. Yep.
And I listened to you on Sunday night, and Gabe, by the way, on game night on ESPN Radio. I was stunned to hear you. An extra working day was surprising, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, because I don't work.
You did national?
I did, yeah. Thanks for noticing. Me and Gabe crushed it. By the way, if you listened to our last hour,
you had a great Bengals take,
well,
which I used and I credited the next day.
Oh, very
what
nice.
You said, which, no, seriously, what you said was, hey, let's be realistic about this squad. They're giving up 1,000,000 points, but if numerically, I read you the line of the quarterback, does it matter that Burrow's not there if those are the numbers the quarterback is putting up, which should be even more concerning, and you should not bring back Burrow as a result? I thought that was a very good point by you,
well,
because Flacco's numbers are Burrow's numbers.
And also, if they aren't at the top of your hot mess list, I know you're going to put the Packers in there, and I would disagree. They lost the game, but with the reaction of Chase and that tailback, I think his name's Brown,
they
are the biggest hot mess. That locker room is implode city. They need to reset that whole operation. They need to trade guys today. Everybody that's not their three core guys needs to go, and they need to reboot immediately. And I think I've said this before, and it's crazy talk. First guy I'm calling, I'm saying, Nick Saban, what do you need? Because you can fix our defense. You finally got your quarterback, and you got a great offense. You can win in the NFL and finish that last crown jewel of your coaching career off. You have everything sitting here that you need, and you can do everything to this defense that you need. Please come. That would be what I would say. Go ahead.
That's an interesting. That's not the goat that I would call first. I'd be on to Cincinnati, but I understand where you're going on that.
I don't know. Belichick's a lot. I don't know about that.
Well, the point, let's go back to the Packers thing. Here's what agitates me. I wrote off the concept of even entertaining a loss to the Panthers because I incorrectly thought that the loss to the Browns was such a wake-up call that they simply had graduated into never having that kind of hiccup again. That does not mean they wouldn't have lost to the Eagles on Monday Night Football coming up, or they wouldn't lose a big game, let's say, in the playoffs to the Rams, but I did not even entertain the idea that a team that had previously been upset by the Cleveland Browns could ever come close to losing the Carolina Panthers. I was stunned, and I will say this. I am not advocating to get rid of either of these two, but if we are going to fairly be critical of the question of what is Jordan Love right now, let's also be fairly critical of what is Matt LaFleur.
Okay, what
that's
are
not
they? What are they?
Okay, that's not right. I don't know. Molly Brown, Jim Matt, and Molly, ESPN Madison, brought up a great point before the season started. She simply said, the last few years, we've been figuring out what Jordan Love is. This is the last year of that. We can't have that anymore. And I feel like we're still trying to figure out what he is. I'm also still trying to figure out what LaFleur actually
okay, so is. I want to push back there because I understand what we do. We react. And basically, an NFL season is a what is it? Ross Kugler. What is her name?
Elizabeth Kugler.
You go through when you have a loss, you kind of go through that five stages, and you go quick, right? Because every week stands on its own. You're mad, then you start bargaining, you end up accepting at the end of it. This was one of those games where you're going to get mad, you're frustrated. But somebody called in. We took calls like we always do on Mondays.
Wow.
Evan.
They're big on Mondays. Yeah.
All day
Monday.
Calls. And Monday one of our callers, I don't remember who it was, but he brought up a great point that Aaron Rodgers in his third year at age 27, all the same congruency of the Jordan Love season this year. We were 3-3 and lost a tight end during that season. We also, Aaron threw a bad pick that ended up losing a game, I think 16-13 on a game-winning field goal by the Dolphins that year, or the Redskins, was one of those two teams. And I just think do we all want everything and we want concrete answers. Well, if you had concrete answers, Sam Darnold wouldn't be in the league anymore. There still needs to be some grace in saying there's room to grow. Just because he's played 3 years doesn't mean that's the end of it. And I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves with Jordan. Now, is he showing you, and you getting enough data to say he's going to make some bad decisions? Yeah, that's kind of where he's at right now. But I think we just get so caught up in the right now that we don't always remember Aaron Rodgers, and the point that this guy made was what springboarded him to the MVP stuff the next year was that Atlanta Falcon playoff game where he just torched him.
So I do think it's important to add with context to that. They lose to the Redskins. He also, I believe, gets a concussion at the end of that Washington game. They lose to the Dolphins the following week. And then they never lose again other than the Atlanta game in Atlanta with Rodgers healthy. They lose Rodgers to the concussion early in that game in Detroit. They lose in New England when Matt Flynn starts in his place. But they win four in a row after that Dolphins game. They lose to the Falcons, which again is the most
confident.
The most confident losing locker room I've ever been in was that Atlanta one. That if we have to come back here, we're going to beat them, and that's exactly what would happen in the playoffs. Then they beat the 49ers. Then he gets the concussion in Detroit. They win their last two regular season games. They win four in a row to win the title. My point is that if we're going to compare third years, we have to point out that when a healthy Aaron Rodgers was playing the rest of that 2010 season, he was phenomenal. And then they're going to need Jordan Love to do that as well without Tucker Kraft. So that, to me, is the challenge of that comp.
Okay, a few things here. First of all, Tausch, you made an extremely bold statement, which was not the point of your statement, but it needs to be pointed out. You keep referring to this as Jordan Love's third year.
Yep.
And so that in itself is a debate, right? So if it's his third year, then he didn't learn enough in the previous few years to make some of the mistakes that he's making now.
But Rodgers was in the same boat, and he was making those mistakes too. That's my point back. Continue.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Number two, Jordan Love ain't Aaron Rodgers.
Not yet.
Number three, Matt LaFleur ain't Mike McCarthy.
Ooh. Expand.
Tell me more.
Okay,
number four.
He ain't Brett Favre.
Dak Ertz. That's the Packers tight end. That's the guy.
Darren Waller.
No.
I want Waller.
I know you do. The infrastructure is not there for Darren Waller to succeed.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Why do you say that?
Okay. Yeah. So I think I have discovered, knowing very little in comparison to you guys, one thing that they may be missing here. Last night, Monday Night Football, Arizona Cardinals are not even in the same ballpark as the Green Bay Packers. But when adversity strikes, things don't go as well. There's zero debate where I'm going. If I'm a defensive player, I look up and I see a 6'8" monster and Calais Campbell has been in the league for 100 years and is a man of the year kind of guy, and I know I go to him. And if I'm an offensive player and things are struggling, I go to the quarterback who's been in the league a decade, who is as professional and kind and smart of a player as you're ever going to meet in Jacoby Brissett. When adversity has struck the Green Bay Packers, which it has right now, in my mind, relative to the expectations, where am I going? Because, Tausch, you probably will tell me, in that spot, you don't always go to the coach. You go to one of your peers, one of your teammates, right? You had Chad Clifton with you that I think is a good friend, as long as we don't have a flight book for him. It does good things. And, I think that's probably where you go to, right? Reggie White, obviously, back in the day. Where does the player that's like, what the hell is happening? How did we just lose to that team? Where is that player
Xavier McKinney.
Right? Who's done what in terms of winning in his career?
Well, they won. Well, I mean.
Yeah, same with Josh Jacobs. I mean, other than winning with them last year, 11 regular season games.
So let me do this in question.
So, Evan, you said something really interesting.
Of a veteran winner,
Okay, can I? Okay, because this ties back to that question I knew you were going to ask.
Okay.
Point three you just brought up, you basically said Matt LaFleur ain't Mike McCarthy. Do you think this team, now that they've matured but they haven't grown up yet, would be better suited having Mike McCarthy as their head coach than Matt LaFleur? Because that's what I'm reading you saying.
No. Okay, fair question. I'm saying the Mike McCarthy at that time that didn't have 20 years of his offense seen by everybody else. You know, it's a different time right now. I'm not suggesting that LaFleur should be replaced. I'm saying the way in which Mike McCarthy early on was able to coach the best out of Aaron Rodgers is not currently happening. Like, is Matt LaFleur coaching the best out of Jordan Love? And if it is, then maybe we need to rethink this.
I think because
I'm not trying to run these guys out, guys. I am not anti-Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-Jordan Love, and I'm not anti-Matt LaFleur. What I'm saying is I sat there in that building on that Thursday night against the Commanders, and I understand the Commanders are not nearly the team I thought they were, but I left that building saying, holy crap. Who the heck is going to beat this team? I didn't realize the answer to that question were the Packers.
This was going to be my question because you were so taken with what you saw with your own eyes at Lambeau Field. And they started – and you were not alone, Evan, right? I mean, we were guilty. My question is, have we overestimated everyone involved and are we now overreacting to one loss? Jordan Love was playing at an MVP level before Sunday. He deserved to be in the conversation. I didn't
and
see him in the
And after Monday night, if he plays well, he'll be right back there.
Right.
Jason, the answer to your question is absolutely all the way around yes, right? We overrated them a little bit. We're overreacting right now, no question. Okay, there is no question. I could come on next week after the Eagles game and be like, holy crap, they're right back in the mix. Nobody's beating them, right? I get it. And then hang on my face, fine. I look like an idiot, no problem. But here's where we're not overreacting. There was one person after the Browns game who publicly said, you know what, I kind of like this. It makes sense for their development, and this is a good wake-up call. His name is Mark Tauscher. And Mark Tauscher, spinning the Browns loss positively, convinced me a little bit, you know, it's not the worst idea. It's that old adage of, like, a big team on a winning streak before the NCAA tournament loses a game, and you're like, that kind of is a good thing.
Sharpens the edge.
Yeah. They lost another one of those on Sunday.
At home.
I thought that was over with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, Tausch, are you going to tell me that this loss is good, too?
No, this was a bad loss. Listen, this was a bad loss. But I'm telling you right now, like, this is the NFL now. If you don't play well, like Dallas last night, that's a brutal loss for them. And Dallas isn't near the team Green Bay is. But you're going to have some of these hiccups. This is – you need to position yourself – I've said this year more than any other, the winner of the NFC is going to be the one seed. Whoever gets that one seed, and I'm not going to make my statement that I always do and people crush me about, the most important one seed. Having to only win two games, this is going to be so competitive, and it's all teams with flaws that can play good football, but I don't trust anybody to win three.
Mm-hmm.
I'll trust somebody to win two. And right now, the Rams deserve the most credit because they've been the most consistent football team. Philadelphia, I still think there's issues there. Monday night will be an awesome test to that. And if Green Bay can win that, they then trump and put themselves in a position to take that one seed away from them. I think the one seed in the NFC is going to come out mainly because I don't know of any team that can win three in a row when you're talking about the competitive juices that all of these groups got.
Dash, you're one of the smartest people I know. That is one of the smartest statements I've ever heard you make. Just that is not even weighing in on the specific team. Mm-hmm. That is conceptually, no team in the NFC has proven to you that they're good enough to win three playoff games. So the next logical thought is whoever only has to win two gets there.
Yep.
That is the smart. I will use that tomorrow, and I will credit you on that.
Perfect.
It is the smartest thing I've heard you say. I hope can't.
I think it's time to go. That's a pretty good little segment ender.
Can we get that on Good Morning America so I could see it?
See if is it who's Stephanopoulos paired up with on that?
Michael Strahan.
Oh, Strahan. Yeah,
Robin Strahan. Roberts.
Oh, Robin Roberts. Yeah, see if Robin Roberts would
Madison
take that.
College named the field after her, I think. Here.
Is she a grad from there?
I don't think so. I don't really
know. Oh, that's an interesting deal.
I should probably look
into
that. I
feel like you needed some more details to drop that piece of information in there.
You know what? I'm
going
to go look that
up. Hey, what? Any Badger update for me? Anything we got?
Yeah, Jesse won $100 throwing dice at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford with Barry Alvarez last night.
101.
Okay. Any positive Badger football news?
I don't know if I'd say there's a ton of positive stuff. We got to go see what we're looking at. It's a new day. It's a new day at Camp Randall. But outside of that, I think we got four games left. We need to. I think Barry said on his show last night, correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, because I just heard the clips. You need to see improvement. And improvement, I thought we saw some improvement defensively.
Got to win a game.
Out in Oregon. We didn't see any offensively. We ran the ball a little bit better. Atuka, I think, has earned reps. He's going to be a guy that you're hopefully going to lean in. And some young defensive players. So there is some optimism with some of your young players. Hopefully developing into guys that you can count on moving forward. But how do you count on anybody moving forward in this era of football? Because who knows? You don't know what's going to happen in December. But as far as this next four games, yeah, we need to find a way to win a game.
We did some.
Wait, do you think that, Tausch, do you think that we are now the kind of program that if you are good, we're not good enough where the big schools poach from? I.e., like, we give Cignetti credit in Indiana because he goes and gets all the James Madison guys that were his guys. But are we like, oh, wow, this person did well at Wisconsin. Now let's get him to a real program? Is that what you're saying?
No, that is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the challenges of keeping guys and financially keeping guys and all of the things that go with stability and everything else. There have been a lot of chirping around here. You know that. So if
if you're Ohio State and Michigan, the programs we fancy ourselves to try to compete with, they don't worry about keeping their guys. They ain't
going
anywhere.
I think that, what world are you living in? Of course they worry about keeping their guys. Alabama loses guys to Ohio State. If you're not worried about that,
they're not losing Ty Simpson.
No. Go back and take a look. They have lost guys. Starting guys have left. And went to other schools. Michigan is poached, guys.
No, but Julian Fain
just saying.
Was at Alabama, but he didn't play.
No, I'm telling you, like there have been starting players that have left because you have to pony up to keep stars. And Wisconsin, right now, if you want to be honest about it, are you going to be able to afford to keep up with the Phil Knights and some of the other schools? That is obviously one of the big concerns that everybody has here. So.
Well,
it's not
I want to give you credit. I want to give you credit, Tausch.
About
because
what?
Because as a former Badger and a student and a broadcaster now, I don't know how public this is, but I think it's a great job by you that you have forfeited your per-game salary to go back to the program for NIL. I think that's a tremendous
And
job
I think it's
you.
Great that you've given your whole national salary to do that, too, because you know how important it is to beat Illinois when you come into town with Smalls
right.
and your crew. So
that's
it's
right.
great that,
yeah.
hey,
yeah.
good job by both of us.
Oh, boy. Talk to you later.
See ya.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Hopefully, Tausch after...
Did you not get the sense he thinks that this team would be better off with Mike McCarthy coaching it than...
He loves Mike McCarthy.
He does.
We all do. But I do think he said something that was... And I didn't want to interrupt because you guys were riffing pretty good there. He had that line about Mike McCarthy's offense before the league had seen it for 20 years. I think that's a fair point. Like, I think Mike McCarthy's offense in year 3-4 was really good. And I think there's starting to be some of that with the Matt LaFleur offense.
It didn't hurt when you have Jordy and Greg and Donald.
Right,
and,
for sure.
So
you can say, hey, we need to win our one-on-ones because you almost always are going to have someone who does that.
You'll outmatch people, and there's nobody outmatching Coors Light, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game. You just need a moment to chill. Crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
The trade deadline approaching. We are less than 5 hours away. We'll see if the Packers make any moves. We still have another segment of the 9 o'clock hour, and it's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Is this song in Step Brothers?
I think it is.
I think so.
I had never seen that movie, and it was on the other night as I was flipping through channels, and I stayed on it for a while, and I think that's where I heard it.
Like that movie.
Yeah, well, I didn't really enjoy it.
I didn't think you
would. I like Mary Steenburgen, though.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
Yeah, she's good.
Fan of her work.
She was married to Ted Danson in Real World, right? In the Real World?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I thought so.
The one that I remember from Step Brothers is when they're in the car and they're singing Sweet Child of Mine, like the family quartet.
I stumbled upon it while they were building the bunk beds.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
That wasn't one of the better scenes.
I didn't stay on it.
Good movie, though. I thought it was funny.
That was an interesting conversation that we had with Evan Cohen, and you can hear it if you joined it late or missed
it. We all agree the Packers are not a hot mess? Like, it is a bad loss. He's going to put them in the hot mess. I think he does that for clicks a little bit, too, if we're just being honest. He knows the Packer fan base is rabid, and, you know, Smalls, obviously, being a Packer fan, will get her all riled up.
What if the
32 teams, are the Packers really, as he put it, Paris Hilton walking out with stilettos and makeup running down her face? Like, I don't think so.
So I thought the clarification of to be a hot mess, you can't just be a garbage team. Like, the Jets aren't a hot mess. To be a hot mess,
you can be a garbage team and still be a hot mess.
To be a hot mess, you need to have expectations.
Drama. And there's got to be a little drama, and there's got to
be... No, I think it's the most important thing is expectations. And that's why the Bengals,
the Packers...
You've got to be hot.
At one point, you were hot, and then you left the building not so hot.
The Dolphins.
When were the Dolphins hot?
Yeah, I don't... I think they're a dumpster fire.
When were the Browns hot? That's not the... You guys aren't understanding. You don't watch the show, so you guys... Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Hand up.
Jason.
I didn't know we were in school.
My question.
Oh, by the way, Mac, our coach, our Defo coach, just sent you a note over. It ain't Robin Roberts from Good Morning America over at the. If you look at Twitter,
Robin Roberts.
I thought that was a super weird.
The old pitcher.
They named it after a Robin Roberts.
I just
that
love
isn't
when
that
you
Robin
say stuff like
no,
it's fact.
Jesse,
the colleges.
You sent me a photo from a football field that was named for Gerald Ford, and it wasn't for Hunter's
Gerald Ford.
So isn't it possible that coincidentally enough, there's another Robin Roberts that the baseball field's named after?
I did not know there was another Robin Roberts.
I didn't know you knew there were more than one Gerald Ford.
Well, I did actually know that one. Yeah.
Okay. If I could go back to the question I had when I raised my hand here.
Hot mess.
And then we will take a break and start the 10 o'clock hour. So I'd like you to ponder this.
Christian Ponder.
Christian Watson.
Watson from...
Tom Watson.
Whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
What if they... lose to the Eagles and lose badly. Ponder that as we get ready for the 10 o'clock hour, because you keep saying, well, if they win, they're right back in it. We're talking about it's them and the Rams. What if they're not? I don't know how that'll affect your Prize Picks choice of the weekend, of your expectations, but that's part of it.
Well, we had a good weekend on Prize Picks. If you took less with Bryce Young, you're in a pretty good spot. You took more with Dowdle. Thought that Packer run defense would give up a little something. If Jordan Love more, even with all of the stuff that we talked about, you know, whether it's football, basketball, or both, Prize Picks just makes every game more exciting. I've been playing Prize Picks for a while, and it is as simple as you could possibly want. You just take your sports opinions and turn it into cash. You can make those picks in less than 60 seconds. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats, get them right, and cash in. And now Prize Picks has stacks. Pick the same player up to three times in one lineup. You want more on Steph. You want more on Giannis. Stack them all. And you can only do it on Prize Picks. Plus, you can follow other players and copy their lineups in one click in the new feed tab. You also have injury reboots. If your player leaves the first half and doesn't return, it won't count as a loss. Deposits are fast and easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, and MasterCard. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI. You get $50 in lineups after your first $5 lineup. That is code WI, again, for Prize Picks. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right. We will be right back with you in 2 minutes for the 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.